Blog
Good evening, welcome.
Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Fightin' Words Radio Network flagship show, Fightin' Words. Tonight, we will be talking about all of the happenings in the world of boxing, and we will be joined tonight by Ty and Zito. I'm not sure who we have on right now, but is this Ty or Zito?
Hey, this is Ty. I'm not sure if Zito's going to be joining us. He may be en route back to Delaware from North Carolina. So I'm not sure if he's back in the area yet. So I don't think he's quite settled. So we may not have Z's availability tonight.
All righty. That's all right. Still got a lot of stuff to talk about as far as boxing anyway.
Always, sir. How you been doing, Frankie?
Yeah. Good. How you doing?
Not bad. Looking forward to tonight's action, actually.
Yeah, it's there's been a lot of things happening. How surprised were you with when they stripped Mayweather of the WBO?
I'm not surprised. It was anticipated. Initially Mayweather said he was going to relinquish the belt, so it came as no surprise that the belt was taken off of him. I guess the surprise would be. He's clearly the best welterweight. He's clearly the lineal, as well as the Ring Magazine champion at the welterweight division. So, accordingly, he won the WBO belt in the ring. He should have it, but he didn't pay the sanctioning fee. And if you don't pay the sanctioning fee, then they strip you. That's part of their rule set. So that's nothing new. Again, out of the four major belts, IBF, WBA, WBC, the WBO is the one that has the least credibility. Let's just be honest about that. But the other thing, too, is Mayweather would have to pay them $200,000 to walk around with their belt, when, in fact, maybe they should be paying Mayweather to hold on to their title, because he brings more prestige to the belt than the belt brings to him. Again, it's just one of the things that we hate about the sport we love. But it is what it is. Tim Bradley will now be installed as the official WBO champion.
Now, as far as Bradley, is there like a mandatory defense for him, even though he was given the belt? I mean, is there a mandatory fight that he's got to take?
Yeah, right now, the number one ranked contender in the WBO, his mandatory would be Saddam Ali. It's a fight that Oscar De La Hoya of Golden Boy Promotion said he likes. It's a fight that Bob Arum also said he likes. Again, it would be the second straight time Tim Bradley would be taking on an unheralded, untested sort of foe. And so, to me, it looks like his career stagnated to a certain extent. Obviously, he had two big fights with Pacquiao. Since then, he's fought Diego Chavez. He's fought Jesse Vargas. And he could be staring Saddam Ali looking at a Saddam Ali bout. With that being said, Tim Bradley has been an elite welterweight for a few years. He's 31 years old. He figures to fight two more years. He's looking for bigger fights. He's talked about going up to 154 to fight a Canelo Alvarez or whomever. So he's looking for bigger fights. But yet again, as I said before, it looks like he will be taking on possibly an untested, unheralded star in the making, so to speak. So he's being used, somewhat of a stepping stone, which is kind of surprising to me.
Yeah. Well, so since Mayweather has the other three belts, right?
Oh, Mayweather is the ring champion. He is the he's the WBA champion. Keith Thurman is the WBA regular champion.
Okay.
He had the WBO belt, and I believe he has the IBF belt, or Kell Brook may have the IBF belt. Mayweather is the WBC, the ring champion, and he had the WBO. Now Tim Bradley has the WBO. Mayweather also has the WBA, and Kell Brook has the IBF, I believe. So,
okay.
It's still split. Right. You know how it is. But Mayweather is the, recognizable champ. Kell Brook, by all unified, recognized list is considered the number one contender. I think Keith Thurman is rated about five. This is going by the Ring Magazine. So I think Pacquiao's two.
Okay. So what do you think Mayweather's going to make good on his promise of one more fight and then retiring?
You know what? This is a guy who is obviously his motivation has been money. It hasn't necessarily been legacy. Not that he's not achieved a great legacy, but legacy hasn't been his motivation. He'll be the first one to tell you it's money providing for his family. With that said, obviously we know that this is the end of his deal. There's some talk. There's been some talk, some rumors that this last fight may occur on free TV, on CBS. You know, CBS is affiliated with Showtime. So there's a good chance that he could possibly fight on CBS. All of a sudden, if he fights on CBS, an opponent of a Kareem Mayfield or an Andre Berto, two names that he mentioned himself as possible opponents, it makes more sense for a TV fight. Obviously, these are guys he can't, you know, he wouldn't be able to bring pay-per-view dollars in with. Outside of that, the only other names would be, you know, Amir Khan, Pacquiao's on the shelf till 2016. So there are really not a lot of significant fights to enhance his legacy or necessarily to make for a $1 million pay-per-view gate. With that being said, I do think that he plans on making this his last fight, but again, money's this guy's motivation. So next year, 2016, Pacquiao's healthy. Maybe Pacquiao comes back and blitzes somebody. All of a sudden, it's like a big fight again. Does he take it? I think he does, personally. But we shall see. I think if any fighter can retire when they say they're going to retire, it would be Floyd Mayweather because he's proven that he's very disciplined when it comes to this.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see. Everyone said – I remember Roy Jones talking about what happened with Gerald McClellan and Nigel Benn, and that scaring, you know, the death out of him, and him saying that, you know what, I'm not going to hang in there too long. And I just read that Roy Jones is looking to fight again very soon. So, you know, everyone says that, but you know, the lure of the ring, the crowd, the glory, you know, it's hard to sit a warrior down if there's still battles to be fought.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're joined by Zito right now.
Absolutely.
Hey, I didn't think you'd make it.
Oh, man, I'm literally just getting in from Greensboro, North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah. How are you guys doing, first of all?
Doing well, man, doing well. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. How's it going, Frank?
Good. How you doing?
Oh, I'm good. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I've been working so damn much. I haven't had a chance to get on for a while.
Going
back to what Ty and I were talking about, you know, with the possibility of the next fight for Mayweather, you know, Amir Khan, although he seemed like he was the leading candidate, he did not look very good at all against Chris Algieri.
And you know what? That might help him out to get a fight with Floyd Mayweather, to be honest. Just
that's
that
true.
Vulnerability. That, I mean, that helps because Amir Khan, he won the fight, so that his name is still up there. If he would have lost to Chris Algieri, then that looks different. But, I mean, he won the fight, but he quite vulnerable. Now, granted, Chris Algieri is long, and he can box from range, and then as a guy that you're going to go into the ring thinking that he's going to box from range, and then he starts stepping to you with punches. That'll surprise anybody, to be honest.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Amir Khan, he's a tough guy. To be honest, he's a tough guy, to give him credit. To go back to what you were saying about Floyd, I don't know if Amir Khan would be his last fight. I think that he's and I heard some of what Ty said, and I totally agree. I think Floyd is on his way out. And I don't necessarily think he wants an extremely tough fight. He wants a guy with a name, but not a guy with a resume along with a certain level of skill.
Especially if there's talk about possibly him, you know, retiring, his retirement fight being on CBS. There's no way he's going to fight in Amir Khan and possibly the money he brings to free TV. He would do that with an Andre Berto or a Kareem Mayfield, whom he mentioned. He would fight those guys on free TV. He'd fight those guys on HBO. It's Amir Khan. He's going to want to do a pay-per-view. So I completely concur with Terry. The only thing, Zito, the only thing I kind of differ with you about, Frank, is I don't think Amir looked bad his last fight. I just think he looked like Amir Khan. I think he is vulnerable. to specific things in the ring. The problem is he's always been vulnerable to those specific things in the ring. And what happened was Chris Algieri, under the tutelage of John David Jackson, who now will be training Brian Jennings, I wanted you to know that, Gino. But John David Jackson, you know, really prepped Chris Algieri with a great game plan. And to me, it wasn't so much that Amir didn't look good. I thought, look good. I thought Chris Algieri just looked fantastic. And what he did was he took advantage of the things that Amir is vulnerable to. One thing about Amir is for a guy to be so fast and so long, he gets hit with a shocking amount of right hands. Now, I know that that Algieri is longer, but I remember his fight with John Molina. Or Carlos Molina, the Carlos Molina that just lost to Adrian Broner a few fights ago. And Carlos Molina was tagging him with right hands. He just doesn't hit hard. So, again, there's certain vulnerabilities that Amir Khan has that whenever a fighter brings that to the ring, a class fighter, they're always going to make him you know, threaten. They're always going to threaten him with that particular style or skill set. So, you know, Floyd would be able to also adapt his game and do the same things, too.
Yeah, but he barely squeaked by a guy that you know, was on the canvas six times against Pacquiao.
And if he fought the way, if Chris Algieri came out and fought on his back foot, contact averse the way he did, just looking to pump his jab the way he did against Pacquiao, Amir Khan would have bludgeoned him. I think if he would have fought like that, Amir Khan would have stopped him. He would have just overwhelmed him eventually. But what happened was he stayed in Amir Khan's chest. He fought in a position for a lot of the fight where Amir Khan, you know, wasn't comfortable fighting. Once it got to the sixth round or so and Amir started to get his distance and his timing down, you know, he started, you know, landing shots pretty cleanly on Algieri. But what happened was Algieri crowded Amir Khan and he fought Amir Khan in close. Amir Khan is not an inside fighter. He has some tricks that he's learned from Virgil Hunter, but he's not an inside fighter, and that's what Algieri made it. And then Algieri was able to time him, time his jab, and counter with the overhand right. You know, something that maybe a lot of people might not land on Amir Khan, but I think anybody with good timing could land on Amir Khan. So it's who the fighter is. Amir is now like 28 years old, and this is who he's been since he was like 20. So this is just who he is, I believe.
One thing is, a fighter, I agree, you are who you are. Training makes a difference.
Yeah.
Training makes a difference, not only training, how a fighter takes to the training. Sometimes, you know, fighters, they're going to be who they're going to be. But also, and the perfect example is Amir Khan, Chris Algieri. It's how a fighter takes. Chris Algieri, first fight, with John David Jackson, he took to what apparently his training well, not well enough to beat Amir Khan, simply because he's not on that level. He's just not on Amir Khan's level. That's one thing. But he made it interesting due to training. Amir Khan switched trainers some fights ago, some years ago, and he's taken to some things, but not as much as maybe he should. Amir Khan, one thing is, as fast as he is, he fights fast. And it's not always good to fight fast. Timing beats speed. Danny Garcia proved that against Amir Khan. Timing beats speed, simple as that. And Amir Khan, he's able to get hit with the right hands because he doesn't slow down. So when you're in the fast lane, you're not switching lanes. You're going to be in one lane where you're going fast. So when you're going fast, if you're always on that one lane, the other fighter knows where your head's going to be in that one lane. Now, if Amir Khan, I think his fists are good. It's his feet. He'll rush into his attack still. When he feels confident, he'll rush into his attack. Now, he's contact averse too. That's one thing that I'm a little, he's a tough guy who's contact averse, and he'll show it in the ring. He just has the talent level at this point in time to get away from certain things. The last, I'm going to have to keep going. The last, three rounds of that Luis Collazo fight, he looked ridiculous. I'm going to be honest. He knocked Luis Collazo down during the fight. He dominated the whole fight. But the last three rounds, Luis Collazo put his fist down and walked Amir Khan down. And Amir Khan was scared of that. not, he wasn't, you know, like, okay, you know, let me get myself together. He wasn't calm, you know, trying to avoid the contract. His eyes were bulging. He was nervously trying to get out of the way of Luis Collazo, hands down, stalking him. That worries
you know,
me.
You talked about the difference of how Chris Algieri took to John David Jackson and how it's taken, you know, it seems like it's taken Amir Khan still a little longer to meld with Virgil Hunter. I think part of it is I remember Angelo Dundee was training Michael Nunn, and he was asked, can you get this guy to stop pulling with his head back? And he goes, it's like trying to ask Ali to stop pulling with his head back. These guys are so ultra-talented, they're able to get away with things. Now, Amir Khan has that kind of ultra talent. Obviously, he hasn't been able to get away with it all the time. But it's hard, I think it's really hard, especially for a guy who was a decorated amateur, to not fall in love with his talent and not rely on his talent and rely on his technique and his and what he's been taught sometimes. I think it's hard, especially a guy who fights with that nervous energy of Amir Khan. I think that's the other thing, Zito. I think the other thing is not just physical, but it is mental. In a fight, the one thing you know you love about boxing, you can pretend to be somebody, but once you step in the ring, you're going to be who you truly are. And Amir Khan in a boxing situation is not a relaxed guy. He has that nervous energy offensively and defensively. I think part of the reason why you see him, you know, get so nervous when someone is on attack is part of the reason why you see him just blindly throw punches so fast. It's just that nervous energy is who he is. And what he hasn't been able to do to this point is find kind of a melding of the two, a way to relax, but still, like you said, to explode when he needs to explode, but calm down when he needs to calm down. He hasn't found that fluidity and his consistency yet. And again, he may never find that because that's just who he is in the ring.
Yeah, and with those mistakes though, when he's paying for him, and you'll
I'm
think
sorry?
That after paying for him, you might want to think a little different. He actually has thought different. But I understand it's hard to get rid of certain habits that you've gotten away with successfully. It's hard to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Certain habits that are picky. Yeah, I mean, seriously.
I mean, you pay for them, then you might really start wanting to invest in that.
You know what? And I give him credit for saying, you know what? I need to go to a more technical trainer like a Virgil Hunter as opposed to an ambush trainer like a Freddie Roach. So, you know, he obviously saw that he needed to make a change.
And he showed it in his – he's showing it in his game.
Yeah.
To be honest. He's showing it in certain parts of his game. It's just other parts of his game to where – what gets Amir Khan, what makes him good is what also causes him
– Exactly. That's exactly what I was saying. It's a double-edged sword. And, you know, it's so much easier to train your body than it is your mind, especially – when your mind is not necessarily when you're not cognizant of what it's thinking, when it's just moving on its own in the you know, in the case of a boxing ring. And one thing about Amir Khan is again, he's a great round winner with most styles. But he's still not the best ring general. Again, he's a great round winner because he's long and fast, but he's just not the best ring general. He doesn't have the best. He doesn't measure in timing as well as he should at an elite level fighter, and I think part of it is because he's going too fast, as you said, Zia. He's just going too fast, and it hasn't slowed down to him yet.
Well, what about the other possibilities? They're saying Andre Berto is a good you know possibility. What if Keith Thurman tonight goes out and whips Palazzo's ass? Does that bode well for him or? Do you think that Floyd would stay away from a Keith Thurman coming off of, you know, a real ass whipping of Collazo?
Leonard Ellerbe, that question was posed to Leonard Ellerbe just a few days ago. And Leonard Ellerbe said, Keith Thurman is a very, very good young fighter, and he's doing his thing, but he doesn't know how the game is played, and nobody's thinking about Keith Thurman right now. And Keith's response was, what Ellerbe was saying was that I don't know politics, essentially is what he was saying, that I don't know politics. But, again, Ellerbe just said that, Keith, they're not thinking about Keith Thurman. I don't think he's thinking about Keith Thurman either. Now, if Keith Thurman goes out and absolutely destroys Collazo, there could be a grassroots groundswell to make Floyd want to fight Keith Thurman. But five, six, seven, how many years was the grassroots groundswell for him to fight Pacquiao? So don't think Floyd is going to be pressured into fighting Keith Thurman by an impressive victory over Luis Collazo. It's not like he's fighting Manny Pacquiao tonight. You know, let's keep in mind he's fighting Luis Collazo, a guy that Amir Khan just dominated. So if Leonard Ellaby says that they're not thinking about Keith Thurman right now, I take him at his word, because honestly, I don't think he's thinking about Keith Thurman. I don't think I like Keith a lot, but I said this to Dan Birmingham, and I may have said this to Keith, that I don't think that Floyd was going to choose him specifically if this is going to be his last fight. And again, if this is a free TV fight, which is just a rumor right now, but it's funny that Floyd said he wanted a solid guy, but, you know, not somebody too great. He just wanted a solid guy. And he said Andre Berto, Kareem Mayfield. And those, again, opponents would be perfect for a TV fight. He's not going to fight Keith Thurman on a CBS primetime show. If he fights Keith Thurman, he's going to want a pay-per-view for that. Now, the second question would be, well, how many buys is a guy like Keith Thurman going to bring to the table as the B-side? Well, at this point, Amir Khan would bring more buys. But, again, I don't think he's going to take either of those fights. Right now, not Keith Thurman, because Keith Thurman is a much more dangerous fight and brings less buys to the plate. Simple as that.
One thing is, it wouldn't even matter what Keith does tonight. If Keith goes ahead, knocks Luis Collazo out in the first round, well, Luis Collazo is how old, and Keith is expected to do what. So it wouldn't budge anything as far as that's concerned. Floyd Mayweather, he mapped it out pretty good because he got the Pacquiao money. That's basically kind of was the ultimate thing. He got that money. Now he's more or less, you know, he's just looking to cruise out.
You know what, he's taking, if he wants to fight an Andre Berto, Kareem Mayfield, and take his a victory lap, you know.
Yeah.
If he wants to take his victory lap, he deserves it. He deserves it. And if he puts it on free TV, that's even better. You know what I mean? If he's going for a victory lap, you don't fight Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman is not a victory lap.
Well, Floyd doesn't want to fight young or hungry at this point. Now, I'm not saying Berto's not hungry or Mayfield's not hungry, but He doesn't want to fight one of the young lions, you know, Sean Porter coming up. He doesn't want to fight, you know, Keith Thurman. I mean,
he's not looking to fight a young lion. He's not looking to prove himself. You're absolutely right. He is done with that.
He's done with that. He made his ultimate goal. Now it's all about FaceTime.
Yeah, it's victory lap.
It's all about FaceTime. Who could he look good against?
They don't usually run a victory lap and then at the end of the victory lap start racing again. No, they're done. You know what I mean? Yeah, I think that's
not with his amount of money. Boxers, when they fight beyond their prime, usually they feel the need to. It's financial, I mean, to be honest.
The only other thing they talk about is Rocky Marciano's record, the 50. He said that doesn't motivate him. And I think if the price isn't right, it definitely won't motivate him. You know, I think if he's motivated for 50, that's because the price is right. But I wouldn't be surprised if he stayed out the game at all. He's 38 years old, and this guy has accomplished everything. He is universally regarded as the greatest fighter of this era. And, you know, that's all you can. That's the best you can be. You know, let people debate your place in history after you're gone. And I think that's where he's at. Plus, if you were to go ahead and – him fighting and beating a Keith Thurman does nothing for his legacy. Him fighting an Amir Khan does nothing for his legacy.
Another thing I looked at was, like, Keith Thurman and Amir Khan. Floyd, I don't think he necessarily thinks that he has that skill set anymore either.
Exactly.
He's beating Pacquiao, but he might have been like, all right, that's all I have left. As a fighter, only he knows. So, yeah, maybe he's taking a step down for the right reason. It might make a good fight.
Yeah.
To be honest.
You know what he said when asked about Keith Thurman? He said, have Keith Thurman fight Errol Spence. He said Errol Spence is the guy, you know, that's going to come in. I think Errol Spence
looks good.
Yeah, Errol's going to – he could be a problem. He's 5'10", too, and he's sharp. So he could be pretty serious. But there's a whole, like, new generation of welterweights coming up. And I don't think Floyd is not interested in passing the torch. He's doing a victory lap. It's simple as that. You know, he's not passing the torch. Not at this moment.
No.
Now, Oscar was never interested in passing the torch to Floyd either until Oscar retired and Floyd became big enough to where Oscar knew they could make big money. Then Oscar said, I'll take part in that fight. So with that being said, who's to say, you know, Floyd doesn't step off for, you know, a half a year or so, and the young guns, you know, straighten themselves out and say Keith Thurman comes out on top and he's that guy, then maybe Floyd takes that fight. But that's the way Floyd is going to pass the torch, kind of the way Oscar passed the torch after his day when he saw that he could profit off of it. Floyd's not just going to fight a young, hungry guy for absolutely nothing.
I don't even see Floyd doing that. For the simple fact, if he's not getting Pacquiao money, then... and he's not going to do it. Yeah. I mean, he hit the top of the mountain.
Well, remember when Floyd and you're right, he's not going to get Pacquiao number money, but Floyd and Oscar was the biggest pay-per-view at that time. So, let's say a year from now, year and a half, 2 years from now, somebody's really, really huge, you never know. But only if he thinks it could do comparable to Pacquiao numbers, which it won't, because it won't have 5 years of sizzle. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I mean, he's announcing, what, in like 2 weeks, who he's actually going to be fighting?
Yeah.
So,
I don't think there should be outrage or criticism over whoever he chooses, especially when he said this is his, you know, again, his last fight, so.
Yeah, well, you know, there's always going to be somebody that's going to be pissed off that he wasn't the last fight. I'll be pissed off if I'm not the guy he fights last, you know? So,
everybody wants to have the money.
Yeah, you don't even have to give me Pacquiao number. You can give me the ring girl, you know, the card girl's numbers. I'll be happy with that. You know, it's got to be made, you know, and I'm sure there's a lot of discussion everywhere for, you know, how that fight's going to be made, who's going to be fighting, when it's going to be done, where it's going to be done, pay-per-view, free. But I think you're right. If it's going to be one of the top five, you know, I think if it's going to be one of the top five, I think most likely it's going to be Keith Thurman. You know, but if
I read today that Andre Berto is the leading contender. So I read an article today that Andre Berto's a leading contender. So,
I read that
like right after I read the CBS article, and I was like, oh, well, that would make all the sense. As soon as I read that, I was like, well, that would really make all the sense in the world. If he's going to fight on CBS, again, just a rumor, but
right.
it would make the Andre Berto fight make more sense. That's a CBS fight. You can do that on CBS, on HBO. You can't do that on pay-per-view.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, if he's going to fight a top five fighter, it's going to be a pay per view fight.
Yeah,
it would make sense.
We know it's September 12th, I believe, is the date.
Right.
Again, once it's announced who the opponent is, I think even if they don't announce it at that time, you'll have a pretty good idea of how this fight is going to take place. And again, he could still be like Andre Berto, pay per view. It's my last fight. You know, I'm not giving up the pay-per-view money, you know, because he always gets a cut of that anyway. So he may be like, look, come out and see my last fight. Hopefully everybody will pay to see my last fight. That could be his thought process, too, no matter who he fights. So,
I want to say Keith Thurman
has kind of accused him of you know, really saying this is his last fight to try to drive sales. You know what I mean? I want to say it was Keith who said that. It was somebody. I'm pretty sure it was Keith, though.
I'm pretty sure he said that on the show, on Fight Morgs, when we had him on last.
Oh, well, there it is.
Yeah. So, you know, and he's a hell of a fighter. You know, he deserves a shot. I mean, the guy is a good fighter. But I think you're right. I don't think that he's going to fight anybody that he feels would give him a real challenge. And I'm not sure anybody in the top five would give him a real challenge. I think Thurman's a good fighter. But Is he a giant killer? I don't know.
I think he can beat everyone in the top five. I think it'll be a lot of work, especially for a guy like Keith Thurman. Get a guy like Sean Porter, Tim Bradley. They're more of a come at you.
Joe Brook, Amir Khan, all those guys. None of those guys are easy outs, man.
That's the only thing. None of those guys are easy. So he doesn't work because it's all going to be work for him. All going to be more work than at this moment he feels he needs to put in. And then to be honest, I mean, at first, you know, everybody accused him of Roy Jones thing. He wasn't facing the best competition. Then he started facing some pretty good competition. Then he started facing, you know, he did what everyone started asking him to do. Now, the guy, you know, he should be allowed to bow out. I mean, as much money he presented for the sport, I mean, he kept interest in the sport for the most part in boxing. Nobody was talking a lot of boxing except for Floyd Mayweather. So now, these young guys, boxing owes Floyd Mayweather just for keeping it in the public eye like that.
He made a lot of people a lot of money on that last fight, you know, boxing and none of those guys are risking their body. None of those guys are risking their literally their brains, you know. So you've got a valid point. I mean, why shouldn't the guy be able to bow out? Why shouldn't he be able to fight, you know, some palooka somewhere? You know, does he owe it to fans to fight fight?
A lot of Mexican fighters, Julio Cesar Chavez, Barrera, Morales, they always, you know, talk about, oh, we want this retirement fight in Mexico City or whatever city they're from in Mexico. That's the same thing Floyd's doing. He's just having his retirement fight. Even taking on an Andre Berto or a Kareem Mayfield is still a credible guy. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily a top 10 guy, but it's not like, you know, he's taking on me, you, or Zito. So, he's still taking on a name. He still would be taking on a name guy. But he has earned the right to go ahead out the way he wants to go out. He's fought everyone that everyone has asked him to fight. You know, I mean, that's why, you know, you hear people talking about, oh, he needs to fight Golovkin. Okay, so now you want him to fight a middleweight. And they talk about all the welterweights that went up to middleweight. Yeah, but all these welterweights that went up to middleweight didn't start out as a junior lightweight. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, it's easy to say, well, Trinidad went up to middleweight. Yeah, Trinidad started out at 147. He didn't start out at 130. You know, so I think it's ludicrous now because it's mostly the people that dislike him, you know, more so his persona or the fact that they think he's more of a defensive fighter. But the fact of the matter is the guy's accomplished everything he needed to accomplish. Pacquiao was the pinnacle on his career. If he had not fought Pacquiao, he would have been dogged and criticized well into his retirement. He fought Pacquiao, beat him very easily. Where does he go from here? There's no place to go. One fight left on the contract. Just enjoy the show one more time and call it a day. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. The young lions that we're talking about, the Porters, the Thurmans, the Khans, the Brooks, none of those guys are easy out. You would have to favor Floyd to beat them. You know, and it would take, to me, it would take them on their best night to be able to beat Floyd. However, those guys on their best night, when you're young like that, it's easier to be on your best night. So, you know, I think Floyd knows his time is come and gone, and he's just looking to go ahead and bow out. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, it's not every boxer needs to be knocked out to leave the sport. Marvin Hagler did.
Right.
Marvin Hagler just needed to be annoyed. You know what I mean? He just needed to be set up. But not everybody needs to be beaten up in the ring to realize that this is not what they need to do anymore. But Tally Crisco said, hey, Marciano, why can't they get there? Maybe that's more like what Floyd's doing. I'm Marciano. I'm done. I'm ready to go.
Hey, guys, we're joined by Butch right now. Butch, thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. Just ready to shake the field here today. I just want to remind everybody that tonight we have the biggest fight in Tampa's history with Keith Thurman as the top of the card and Edner Cherry as a co-main event at the Sundome in Tampa.
I didn't know Edgar was on that card. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I don't know
anything
about it either. Yeah, hey, Butch, what's going on with your game, man? How's it going?
Doing good, doing good. How you doing?
Not bad. How's the game going?
We're about to take the field in about 20 minutes.
Okay, all right. Good luck to you guys, man.
Yes, sir. Yeah, they're really going to pull this one out because this will mean whether we get into the playoffs or not. If we get into the playoffs after taking a team that was 31-0 and taking them down and then coming close to beating Philadelphia, our chances have improved by 1,000%.
Wow.
So we just got to get in there. That'll help us if we get in there.
Who do you guys have tonight?
We have Orlando, the Orlando Predators, which are our arch rivals, have been ever since the league started.
What's Orlando's record at this time?
They're 7-7. We're 7-7.
Uh-oh.
This is in the playoffs.
Is this for the playoff spot? Is this a winner take all?
This is for the playoff spot, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Wow, cool.
That's how you want it, baby. That's how you want it.
That's right. We got, we had a tremendous game against them the first game. This is our third game. This is our rubber match. We got them the first time. They got us. Now we're hunting for bear.
Oh, that's how you want it.
There we go.
That is how you want it.
Alpha blood.
Yeah, but I just did want to remind everybody. I told Dan Birmingham I would call in and remind everybody about the fight. And I did have a chance to talk to both Keith and Edner this week. Both guys are ready for this fight. In fact, Keith is looking, he was very happy that Canelo now wants to talk about his name.
I didn't know Canelo mentioned Keith Thurman.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was sometime Wednesday or Thursday when I was up there, they got word that Canelo had said that he would be love to get him into the ring.
Wow.
I wonder what weight that will be at.
154. That'd be a 155.
Yeah.
He and Cotto are fighting at 155. So, you know, Canelo said he would only fight at 154 for a title, but that fight is very close to being done at 155. Then.
Yeah. I think being with Al Haven is going to really help both these guys out.
Yeah. That's very good that Edner got to sign with Al Haymon. It really is. Especially, he's a guy who's had a lot of stop and starts in his career. So, you know, that's really good news.
Yep. Well, guys,
he's a
class get back here, but,
I like
I just want to call in and say thanks for everybody for pitching in there for me this week and keep a good thought for our two good friends that are fighting tonight.
Okay. All right, thanks for calling
take
in.
Care.
Hey, good luck,
take
man.
Care.
Yeah, I guess Edna Cherry's fighting Luis Cruz.
Yeah, I didn't know Edna was on that card. That's pretty good.
I was unaware, too. Hopefully he's going to be on, Tarver, Antonio Tarver Jr.'s fighting. It's a decent card. So, I'm going to be watching. So, I like Thurman. But, you know, with everything we've been talking about, there's no way... there's no way he's going to fight. You guys, you're exactly right. There's no way he's going to fight somebody that could potentially be on their game that night. Because how embarrassing and how many questions would that then leave if he's like, oh, this is my last fight, this number 50, and he gets stopped?
Well, let me ask you guys this, too, and I think this is another point of clarity that hasn't been mentioned. Floyd Mayweather, obviously, is right now universally considered the best fighter of the era. The only argument to me would be Bernard Hopkins, obviously.
Okay.
And I think Bernard is an all-time great. But specifically as a welterweight, Floyd has been the best welterweight for going on a decade. Agreed?
Agreed.
Think the numbers say it. All right, with that being said, we look at, these young guys coming up, the young lions, we'll call them. We talked about Sean Porter, Amir Khan, Kell Brook, Keith Thurman. right? These are the top four guys. Am I correct, Zito?
Absolutely.
Who's the best out of these guys? So that's my point. None of these guys have fought each other yet
right.
to sort it out. You know what I mean? We the only fight we've had was the Kell Brook Sean Porter fight.
Yeah.
That's what got Kell Brook's name thrown in that sentence as well. But that's the only fight we had. So none of these guys have necessarily Well, they haven't differentiated themselves as the best welterweight outside of Floyd Mayweather yet. So that's the other thing. No guy is again for the ring. Kell Brook is the highest rated of the crew, but no guy is considered the best guy. It's not a universal consensus number two. There was with Manny Pacquiao, and that was part of the reason why that fight needed to happen. It was like these are the best 2 pound-for-pound fighters. But right now, there's not a consensus number one welterweight outside of Floyd.
And to be honest, I'm going to take it a step further. None of these guys, except for Tim Bradley, have fought like a guy of Pacquiao. You know, it's hard to find a guy of Pacquiao's level. But then you have, I would say Tim Bradley may be just off a resume.
Which is why I've been reading this week, Zito, that the guy that a lot of articles have been written about as the guy being really the truly most deserving guy of fighting Floyd Mayweather is Tim Bradley. Obviously, Aram, we know it's not going to happen. But a lot of people have said, you know, he would be the most deserving guy, period.
And that's the thing.
I mean, would be.
Timmy has, off a resume, I think he is very deserving to fight Floyd Mayweather. I thought that some fights ago, even before he fought Pacquiao, to be honest.
There's no past performance Timmy is ever deserving of a fight with Floyd Mayweather. He just never performs that great.
And that's the thing. He won't look good in mostly any performance. But he won't look good either. I mean, that's the thing.
He will not look
good. If you're looking good against Timmy, he'll change it.
But honestly, Tim Bradley is probably, based on resume at welterweight, the most deserving. But obviously, he's across the street. That's not going to happen.
I have a thing about Tim Bradley.
And I do think Floyd would be a fight if Tim Bradley was on the same side of the street. I think that's a fight Floyd would consider. But again, who is he going to fight that is going to give him the kind of money or even recognition for his legacy? Nothing. No, there's nobody out there. Pacquiao was the guy.
And that's the sad thing, because off of Timmy's resume, I mean, he doesn't attract. He doesn't attract. And that's the thing. I mean, I like Timmy, and I think he should be making all the money that he deserves. Even more, I should be honest. He should be making more.
You know what? I will say this. The one thing Timmy has going for him, and, man, I never believe I say this, is Bob Arum.
I remember
when Timmy went to sign that contract extension, and remember he signed it early, and we all were like, oh, my God, how did he not go to, you know, Golden Boy Promotions and just see what they were going to offer him? He could have got the Floyd fight and yada, yada, yada. Well, you know, according to Timmy, his family's like, look, you know, he's got like 2 more years left on the deal. He wants to go ahead and really try to build his legacy. He wants to solidify a Hall of Fame position for himself. This is what he said. So with that being his goal, he only looks to do this in the next 2 years. And what Bob Arum has stated that he's already starting to do is, if you pay attention to these top-ranked broadcasts, when they do their little top-ranked shows, Tim Bradley's a commentator. Bob Arum said he knows that Tim and his wife, who's his manager, have a 2-year plan, and that he wants to transition into broadcasting. So what he's doing is already getting Tim Bradley on these shows so Tim Bradley could get experience. So, I mean, Bob Arum has been great for Tim Bradley.
And I can agree more, and I'm just going to lay it out there. Tim Bradley and Andre Ward are essentially, they're kind of the same guy, to be honest. They fight the same in a way.
Somebody has a tendency to look real good at times, though, or somebody's never looked real good to me. But
they have a difference in discipline, I think.
Yeah, different styles. Same kind of guy, yeah.
They're the same kind of guy in the ring. They both have that dog, and they both have that you're not going to beat me in them. They have that cockiness pride in them to where even you know, Timmy gets knocked down, he's going to get up and, you know, he's going to keep battling. Andre, he's, you know, he'll get hit, but he's a warrior. He'll get in there and mix it up on you. The difference is, as you said, Bob Arum, the promotion to where Timmy signed a contract. Ever since Timmy signed a contract, when hasn't he been fighting?
Yeah.
Timmy's constantly been fighting.
Yeah.
So, and then Andre just now stepping into the ring. His contract, promotion. They're the same guy. Caliber wise, Timmy lost to Pacquiao, but before then, I mean, him and Ward were what?
To this point, Timmy's only lost to Pacquiao. I mean, to me, he lost twice, but to this point, he's only lost to Pacquiao. But officially on his record, he is the only man before Floyd Mayweather. Well, he did it before Floyd Mayweather, but he was the only man to beat both Pacquiao and Marquez that we know about, the Pacquiao fight. But, my point is that's how strong his resume is to a certain extent.
Yeah, but don't you think that that Bradley got saved in that fight with Vargas?
No, not at all.
He got saved by a chair. In the middle of his fall, a chair came out of nowhere, and he sat and spun off of it. That's the only thing that saved him.
Bradley referenced his own history when he said, you know, he survived Provitnikov. But even beyond that, I remember when he was fighting Kendall Holt, and he got hit with a left hook, and I believe it was the first round. And honestly, that was a knockout punch, first round. He got up, and he dug deep, and he won. And there's nothing about not just Tim Bradley's history, but there's also nothing about Jesse Vargas' history that would have led me to believe that Jesse Vargas was going to close the show just because he had Tim Bradley a little wobbly. Nothing about either man's history. Not to mention that when the ref stepped in initially to break, there was 7 seconds left. So even if he had knocked Tim Bradley out cold, the fighter could be saved by the bell any round in that particular fight. So even if he had knocked him out cold and the bell rung, I mean, he would only count it to 7, and Tim Bradley would have won the fight. It would have been horrible looking, but he would have won the fight. But the fact of the matter, again, I specify this, nothing about either man's history. Jesse Vargas with 27 fights and 9 knockouts. Tim Bradley, who's been battered but never, ever been knocked out and always gets up, even when he's knocked out going down, there's no way he was going to stop Tim Bradley. No way.
Tim Bradley was jumping into those shots all night long. Granted, Jesse Vargas, that's the best I've seen him look, and that's the most relaxed I've seen him look. But he was getting dogged all fight long. He couldn't do anything on the inside. It's just that Timmy kept jumping into those long shots. It was bound to happen. But Timmy's not a guy who goes out. He's not a guy who goes out. I mean,
I was going to say, Bradley also, he lost to Manny in 2014, and then it was a very disputed draw to Chavez, or Diego, Chavez. So,
I
needed
to
win
that fight 8 rounds of 4. He just didn't look good doing it, but he won it 8 rounds of 4. He just didn't look great.
Well, I don't think
here's
his
the
name
thing,
will
too.
Ever
I think
be.
Timmy, I think Timmy personally, and I said this to Zito after the fight, I think he's slowing down a little bit. He's still, world class, but he's definitely past peak. The Timmy that fought Devin Alexander would have run through this kid. There was a point in the fight where I was like, man, Timmy's going to break this guy's will. But Timmy did something that I've never seen Timmy do. Timmy started to get tired, and he started to flag a little bit. And I think Timmy 3-4 years ago would have smoked this kid. I don't think Timmy will be the same since the Provitnikov fight. I'm not saying that Provitnikov took everything out of him. It took a lot out of him, but he's 31 years old. And Timmy, what you got to remember, Timmy fights and wins on hunger and athleticism. One of the reasons why Timmy does everything so well in the ring, he's not a technical marvel, but he's athletic enough to where he's fast enough to box with you because his feet are so quick and his hands are so quick, but yet he's strong enough to brawl with you. He's just a marvel. Now he's 31 years old. He's past peak as far as athleticism. And now, to me, and that Jesse Vargas fight, his technical flaws were even more pronounced because he's not quite as athletic as he used to be.
And I think he threw a lot of techniques away because of Jesse Vargas. I hate to say it, but I think his preparation had a lot to do with that. He came into the fight and he fought like he didn't respect Jesse Vargas.
Exactly. So he fought the same,
anything.
He fought the same way he fought. He fought that fight the way he fought those few rounds of Pacquiao, where he just came out throwing haymakers, kind of like he did with Provitnikov, where he came out wanting to take a guy out. You know, he's a guy who's constantly saying he's working on his punching power, but you know, and he comes out like he really has this newfound punching power and it never materializes.
Yeah. And I always say, Timmy, he'll slap you to the face, but he'll brick you to the body.
Yeah,
I don't understand that.
Because you know what? You know this from practicing. It's a lot easier to turn over a punch to the body than it is to the face. It's just easier to dig to the body than it is to the face. He slaps to the face. He was slapping Jesse Vargas with the right.
If Timmy slaps you 1,000 times, you think you could turn at least 3 of them over? I mean, but what I do respect about Timmy is he might not hit too hard to the face, but he'll bully you around. He'll dig in.
Yeah.
He
couldn't do that for 12 rounds this time, and that to me was the difference, that he couldn't do it. If he had done it consistently, he would have broken Jesse Vargas, but he couldn't stay on top of him. Jesse Vargas wasn't doing anything to keep Tim Bradley off of him. Tim Bradley just couldn't do it for 12 rounds.
Yeah.
But being Vargas was in shape. Paul Forever said.
But, you know, you're also right, because, like, Vargas says, you know, Vargas afterwards was like, you know, he was out. It was not a mistake, but he was out. But, you know, it's like you said, you know, against Provitnikov, I mean, a guy who can probably punch through a brick wall. I mean, Tim Bradley took all he could handle, you know, but you're talking about 2 years difference. So is a 29-year-old Tim Bradley a lot better than a 31-year-old? Yeah, I think they're probably a lot similar in their fighting styles. But 2 years is a lot of punishment on a body.
We have to understand, after that Provitnikov fight, Tim Bradley was messed up for 2 months.
Yeah,
he had an interview 2 months afterward. And he was talking funny, and he admitted, yeah, I'm still a little messed up.
He said he had headaches for 2 months afterwards.
Yeah.
Headaches, problems with his speech a little bit.
That knocks your athleticism away. It really does.
Yeah.
It chips something off of him. And realize, he fought probably most of that fight like that. Because that damage came with, like, what, the third round? When Provitnikov really got to him? Yeah. So he fought most of that fight like that. Then he got knocked down in the 12th.
Think about how Juan Manuel Lopez looked before and after the first Orlando Salido fight. So Salido ended his career that first fight. He effectively ended his career with that bludgeon in the first fight. And part of the reason why was because he severely hurt Lopez in like the fourth round, and Lopez fought the next four rounds on Queer Street, basically. Same like Tim Bradley did. They both fought concussed. And if you look at Lopez after that, he was never the same. Tim Bradley has some tremendous athletic gifts that Lopez isn't blessed with. So Tim Bradley, I guess certain fighters, could still, you know, really provide a nice, good stick-and-move game plan against guys who are slow afoot. But Tim Bradley's just, he's not the same guy that he was before pre-Provitnikov. He just isn't. I think part of it is Provitnikov, and part of it is a natural aging process.
I think Bradley
But not just Provitnikov. He's had tough fights with Kendall Holt, with Juan Manuel Marquez, two tough fights with Pacquiao. I mean, he's been in a lot of wars because Tim Bradley's a lunch pail guy. So he's not a guy who's going to blow anybody away. Every fight's a tough fight for Tim Bradley. But we always talk about these pressure fighters like the Margaritos and how guys like that, you know, they're like the running backs in football. They don't last past, you know, too long past 30. Well, Tim Bradley's kind of like that. You know what I mean?
But, I mean, Tim Bradley left a lot of himself in that ring with that fight against Provitnikov. A lot.
Every fight. Yeah. I mean, Tim Bradley can't win a fight without leaving a lot of himself in the ring because he doesn't have the skill set.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't have the skill. He really doesn't have the fundamental skill. Even though he, you know, he's fundamentally talented, he's gifted, he fought amateurs. But Timmy's not tight enough in his technique. He's always undersized, even though he's so stout. You know, height and reach-wise, he's undersized. But he doesn't have those abilities to fall back on. So he's always going to have to be the guy to outwork you and out-tough you. But those guys don't tend to have as long careers as the Floyd Mayweathers, guys who hit and don't get hit.
I think Timmy has all of the technical abilities. I think he can do everything that's required of a boxer. Well, not that hard, but everything required of a boxer in the gym.
Yep.
In the gym. Once he's put into the ring, it is what it is. He's fighting. Now, he could try to apply it, but, you know, his blood's boiling. Timmy's a fighter. That's his thing. He can do things technically good. He had to do them against Lamont Peterson. He had to do them against Lamont. I've seen him do everything technically good in fights. He had to do it against Lamont Peterson, a guy like that.
But even then, fundamentally, he still was just, you know what I mean? Like, fundamentally, he still slaps. He still drops. He still just, he's always going to make those fundamental errors, though.
And I think that's when he's in the ring. Timmy, at heart, is a fighter. And
Timmy's Holyfield.
Yeah. But Evander, he's kind
Evander
of.
Evander was much better fundamentally and technically. But he's Evander like Evander, though.
Evander knew when to get technically and fundamentally. He'd get like that before his stuff happened. Imagine Timmy fighting old George Foreman.
No, you know what? Imagine Timmy at 154 and watch how he fights. I guarantee he's not going to fight like he's fought Jesse Vargas. He fights Canelo, I tell you that much.
Well, and you see, that line's a problem. Timmy,
because remember, Holyfield. Well, think about Holyfield at cruiserweight, then think about Holyfield at heavyweight when he was like,
exactly.
Okay. Yeah, you know, so.
But just think about
again,
how he had to fight that old George Foreman. You see, Holyfield,
I think Timmy Bradley made
him.
The most. I think when his career is written and over with, we will say Timmy T. Bradley made the most out of his career. He did. He provided everything he had, he gave everything he had. And he's a lunch pail kind of guy. But, again, those lunch pail kind of guys don't blow anybody out, and they're always vulnerable because they're always getting hit. So it is what
you
it
have
is.
You have to be super-duper special as a lunch pail guy, like a Henry
Armstrong.
He's special.
He's special.
Who's going to come
he's
in
special.
There and maul you. You know what I mean? Who's going to just throw for 15, 20 rounds, you know, and not let up off of you. Timmy, he could do that against some people. He could do that against some people. But he can't, I mean, once it gets to that level, no. Pacquiao, he can't do that again. He respects Pacquiao's power. Timmy doesn't want to get his head thrown. I mean, that's to be honest. You know, he fights guys who, you know, Timmy hasn't been beaten outside of Pacquiao. But, I mean, the struggles he has is because he dogfights. He gets in the cage, he dogfights. Timmy has the ability to do things.
And Timmy's one guy who will fight the. I mean, Jesse Vargas was a young lion. If he fights for Naam Ali, it's a young lion. I mean, we're not talking about the leaders of the pack or the pride, so to speak, like the Keith Thurmans and Kell Brooks. But nonetheless, you know, he'll fight anybody. That's one thing about Tim Bradley. So,
yeah, anybody.
Okay, well let's jump ahead a little. Let's say you know, Floyd does go out. Floyd, you know. Whoever he fights, whether it's, you know, any of the top five or, you know, who knows who he fights. But let's say that he does go out, he wins the fight, great. Who is the next champion of the welterweight division? You know, who's going to be the next great fighter? And is there going to be a great fighter? They're certainly not going to be
a
dominating fighter.
I don't know.
I can throw a name out for you that I think. And I've seen this guy maybe two times fight. Errol Spence.
Yeah, we said that earlier. Yep.
Errol Spence. And we said that. Floyd said that. I looked at the guy, and to be honest, he looks like he has the goods. He really looks like he has the goods.
Well, I look at the top guys right now. Kell Brook is 29. I think Amir Khan is 28. Keith is 26. Errol Spence is 25. Sean Porter is 27. So these guys are young, and so I could see why Floyd wouldn't necessarily want to fight these guys. Right now, the guy that's considered number one right now outside of Floyd, for the most part, by the ring, would be Kell Brook. A lot of people look at Keith Thurman as being the most dangerous guy and potentially the eventual guy who's going to take over the throne. Errol Spence's name has only been thrown in the conversation recently because Errol Spence only has 17 fights.
Yeah.
So he still needs to step up to the Robert Guerrero's of the world, so to speak, or the Luis Collazo's of the world, so to speak. He still needs to have those fights, but he looks like he has the goods. Is he going to be able to beat a Keith Thurman? I don't know. He's 4 years younger than Kell Brook. You just don't know. You don't know. And that's part of the reason why I could see a guy like Floyd sitting on his throne saying, you know what, there's no reason to fight either one of these guys because no one has differentiated themselves as the guy outside of me. There's no consensus best guy. This is all the new crop. You have to kind of wait for them to sort themselves out. When Floyd retires, when Pacquiao steps away, it's going to be fun watching these guys sort themselves out. Part of the issue, though, is Heyman is not working with Aram too much right now, obviously. He's not even working with Golden Boy. So we'll get Golden Boy and Aram fights, but we won't necessarily get top rank in Heyman fights. So, that's why we don't talk about a Tim Bradley fighting a Sean Porter, which would be an awkward, sloppy fight. But we don't talk about Tim Bradley fighting those guys or Keith Thurman because he's across the street. So it'll be interesting to see how things shake itself out, and hopefully we'll start getting some of these matchups universally.
And I don't want to not that they're young, but I don't want to toss out a guy like Amir Khan. I don't want to toss him out. He's basically up there to me too, just because I don't see. I can't necessarily say that any of the top guys will beat him. What about a guy like Marcos Medina? Not as young, but still.
Well, here's the problem with Marcos Medina. Robert Garcia said that he's finally, and this is what Robert Garcia said. I'm paraphrasing Robert Garcia. Cheeto's finally getting back into it and starting to lose that weight. What he had said a few weeks before that was Cheeto's in Argentina getting fat. You know, because Madonna obviously got those big Floyd Mayweather paychecks, and last report he was close to 200 pounds. So, but they said he got his fire back, and he's looking to. He initially said he's looking to return towards the end of this year, but they're thinking maybe 2016. So we got to see what Marcos looks like when he comes back.
Yeah, hopefully he's not fighting at 160.
Fought in damn near a year.
Yeah, you know, the part is the second Floyd Mayweather fight, yeah.
Yeah.
But Floyd Mayweather is more active than you, then there's a problem.
Yeah, absolutely right there. So, but yeah, it's going to be interesting, you know, to see who steps into the fray and who rises to the top.
Yeah, I think it's going to be real. You know, And we're at that point, not just in the welterweight division, but the heavyweight division as well. Obviously, Klitschko is about to fight Tyson Fury, and you know, he doesn't look anywhere near being beaten, just kind of like Floyd Mayweather. But again, he's at that point where he's getting close to AARP in boxing years. And with that said, we have an interesting crop of young heavyweights that when he steps down, it's going to be interesting seeing some of these guys fight each other. You know, we're just at that point. It's generational. You know, we're at that point where the generations, we're starting to see that in boxing. You know, we're starting to see the old guard step away and the new guard come in. So it's going to be really interesting. Even guys like Golovkin and Sergey Kovalev, I mean, these guys are just now really hitting the mainstream. But these guys, like Golovkin's like 33 and Kovalev's like, you know, these guys are like 31 and 32 and 33. So, I mean, you know, we got a whole new crop of mid-20s guys that are coming up. So it's going to be interesting to see some of these divisions shake their way out. Even Canelo's only 24. You know, so, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see this stuff shake its way out.
Right, you're right. I mean, you're right, especially the heavyweight division, you know, there's a lot of boxers that are much older than 30. You know, Klitschko, of course, he's 39. You know,
the heavyweight division, you can fight them. You know, they develop later and they can fight a little later in their career.
Yeah.
The heavyweights have a little bit more longevity. So you take a guy like Deontay Wilder, who's 29, he's still raw, he's still growing. Well, if you're 29 and you're a welterweight, you can't really still be raw and still growing, which is kind of the problem,
right.
I think Zito was talking about with Amir Khan. But a 29-year-old heavyweight can still be raw and still grow because he has another 10 years. You know what I mean? Especially a guy that big. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens when Floyd and Pacquiao step away, when Vladimir Klitschko steps away. It's going to be very interesting.
They're all leaving a huge void in their respective weight classes.
And the star quality, I mean, it's like right now, who do you have as far as star quality in boxing outside of Klitschko over in Europe, especially, and Floyd in America? I mean, Pacquiao.
But I mean, all these guys.
Like Cotto, Canelo. I mean,
But outside of Canelo, all your top guys all your top guys and top draws are over 30. You know what I mean? Most of the top guys are over 30. If you look at the pound for pound list, at the pound for pound list, most of these top guys are over 30. You know, I remember when the Super Six started, and Andre Durrell was 27. And Andre Ward was 25. And, you know, Andre Ward is 31 now. So, I mean, it's like all these top guys are, you know, Cotto, all these guys are over 30. So we got the new crop coming up. And, you know, this is when, from a business standpoint, boxing kind of dips, you know what I mean, because you lose some of your draws. But what's kind of exciting is seeing who's this next guy. We know Canelo is one of these guys, but who's the other guys, you know, that could possibly be pay-per-view draws. I remember when Floyd was fighting on HBO talking about, I'm getting slave wages. And at that time, I never thought, man, this guy's going to be, you know, the richest guy ever in boxing history. I never thought that. You know what I mean? So you just never know who that next guy is going to be to move the needle, you know, in the mainstream press as well.
You're right. You're right. You know, and it's, you know, you don't have, you know, you've got a lot of really good young fighters. So it's going to – I think it's going to be pretty exciting to see some of these fights that are going to have to be made, you know, and some of the fighters that we're going to see. Because it's going to be, at least I think in the heavyweight and in the welterweight division, it's going to be the cream rising to the top.
You know, I'll give you another example. We talked about Amir Khan. Amir Khan has lost 3 times, been knocked out twice. Right, been hurt several more times. But regardless of that, he's been knocked out twice, you know what I mean, and lost 3 times. But yet, when we talk about the best welterweights right now, we talk about guys potentially taking over after Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao step away. You can't mention a name and not mention Amir Khan. Amir Khan is one of those top guys who could conceivably take over. He does have the charisma and the style even where he could be a big draw and potentially a pay-per-view draw. You know, one day. But guess what? When he was getting knocked flat on his ass by Bradis Prescott, who now has like 7 losses, nobody thought that. I'll give you another name, Adrian Broner. Adrian Broner has 2 losses, and, you know, he hasn't been knocked on his ass and out. So who's to say, you know, he's like, what, 25? Who's to say 3 or 4 years, this kid doesn't mature and get it together and become a force too? So you never know. There's a lot of talent coming up. It's just all about who has the discipline and the drive. One of the reasons why I think everybody's so high on Keith, besides the fact that the kid is obviously talented, and he's obviously charismatic, you know, he's a good-looking, charismatic kid who could draw eyes to the sport. But beyond that, Keith comes across as a very, very dedicated boxer. He comes across as a world-class athlete, the way a boxer should. He doesn't come across as a party guy who's boxing because he's good at it. He's very dedicated to the craft, and he's a very diverse, intelligent young man. And I think that's one reason why people are so high on Keith, because you know with Keith, if he's weak at something, he's going to get stronger at it because of his dedication to it. And so that's why I think a lot of people see that in him. I think the reason why a lot of people see Kell Brook as maybe being the guy is because he reminds people in his relaxation and his approach of a Floyd Mayweather. He's a very calm sniper, but he has a little bit more power. Well, not a little bit. He has more power he's ever handed than Mayweather. But he's that kind of guy who's really patient and When he throws, he's very accurate. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of interesting things going on in the world of boxing. They talk about it's dead when it dips. When these guys go, oh, Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao, fight of the century. It wasn't a fight. It was a dud. Yeah, but it made tons of millions of dollars. And guess what? The next guys are coming up. So, you know, we'll see.
Hey, you're right. You know, and really, like you were saying, youth is going to factor into this heavy. Mikel Brook at 29 is, you know, you've got Madonna, who's 31.
Right.
You know, but other than that, I mean, Tim Bradley's 31. Other than that, you've got Brandon Rios is 29. Chavez is 29. Sean Porter is 27. You know, you've got all these young pups who are hitting their stride. Because let's face it, as a 19-year-old boxer, you are not the same. You might have a lot of power, you might have a lot of stamina, you may be able to dance all over that ring, but you do not have the patience, you do not have the fortitude, and you certainly don't have the sniping abilities a 28 or a 26 or 27-year-old boxer is going to have.
Experience does all of that.
Yeah.
And then your body matures too. So then
you know
your body. So once you know your body,
you say that. Because when you look at, it's funny you guys say that, because when you look at Kell Brook and Amir Khan, they're probably closest to the finished, you know, products as far as who they're going to be. There's still room for growth with Keith Thurman, which is why people are so high on him. They're like, damn, there's still room for growth with this guy. And there's still room for growth with Sean Porter. There's still room for growth with Adrian Broner. There's still room for growth with Errol Spence, Saddam Ali, Jesse Vargas. These guys can still grow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even, I mean, and not that Kell Brook and Amir Khan can't, but just by virtue of them now being 28, 29, they're just a little bit closer to the finished products.
Right. Right. Yeah. And
Ali is another name I forgot. I totally forgot about. And I like him a lot. I like him a lot. The guy.
You know, he's a mandatory for Tim Bradley will eventually be bumped up to WBO champion because Floyd was stripped. Saddam Ali is the mandatory. Oscar De La Hoya said Goldboy likes that fight. Bob Arum said, hey, we like that fight too. And I can see why both promoters. I can see why both promoters would like that fight. I can completely see that.
I like that fight, too. Especially after this Jesse Vargas fight.
One thing I wanted to mention, and before we go off air, I have to mention this to you. Luis Santa Cruz is finally going to get a credible opponent. He's fighting Abner Maris. So they finally made the Santa Cruz-Abner Maris fight. And, you know, it's Abner Maris' first really significant step-up fight since he fought, since he got, you know, KO'd by Gonzalez. And it's Santa Cruz's first step-up fight since, Lord knows, since he moved up to 126. So I just wanted to put that out there that fight is signed.
I mean, it's not going to be a knockout. However that goes, it's not going to be a knockout.
I favor Abner Maris right now. Tighter technique, quicker, hits harder.
He works more. I mean, they both work.
Well, I don't know if he works more because he gets versus Johnny Gonzalez, man. He's been yobbing.
Yeah, but you know what? Santa Cruz doesn't hit hard.
Nah, that's why. And I think his tighter technique, quicker hands, just, you know, he's going to win the fight. But it's going to be, it should be a good fight. And I'm glad that they're both finally stepping up to fight somebody.
I mean, it's going to make for an interesting fight, just style-wise, because Abner Maris is going to have to get in on the inside. He can't dance on the outside. That going around, that's not going to work for him.
He won't have a choice to get in on the inside because that's where Santa Cruz is going to be, at his face, which is why I think Abner Maris could win. If Santa Cruz used his range, but I don't know if he could fight that range.
His feet aren't fast. That's Santa Cruz's problem.
Yeah, boy, Cruz is something. Boy, oh boy.
His feet are fast, but he'll punch from range a lot. And that, when you punch from range a lot, when you punch a lot, period, then you know, it's tending to easy.
Where Santa Cruz is extremely vulnerable, he punches a lot, and he just falls right in and keeps punching. You know what I mean? So he's very hittable. You know what? It's a fun fight. It's a very fun fight.
Oh, yeah.
And I think both camps should be satisfied with it, but I think even more the fans should be satisfied with it because we've been asking Maris to step up since the Gonzalez KO debacle, and we've been asking Santa Cruz to step up. Obviously, they wanted the, you know, everybody wanted the Rigondeaux fight. Heyman pulled him away from that. Oscar was ready to make the fight. Heyman pulled him away from that. So now we get this fight. So I think it's going to be a fun fight. It's going to be an entertaining fight. And you'll get 12 rounds of give and take because, like you said, these guys aren't going to knock each other out, especially at 126.
And they're going to throw a lot of punches.
Maris is tighter, but he's not he's not a defensive whiz. He's just tighter with his technique and quicker hands and hits a little harder. Not hard enough to knock Santa Cruz out. He's more committed to his punches. Santa Cruz is committed to just punching.
Throwing them.
Yeah.
The throwing punches.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of good boxing coming up, and I'm going to make sure to watch the Keith Thurman fight tonight. I don't think they'll show Edner Cherry on there. I wish they would, but I don't think he'll make the actual prime time.
Edner's a guy you always can root for. I mean,
yeah,
he's a likable guy. I mean, the guy, he's a relatable guy. He's a family guy. I mean, he's...
Yeah. Yeah, he really is. He's a great guy. I mean, I met him once, and he's just hell of a nice guy. All right, guys. Well, we're up against the clock. I wanted to thank you guys again for coming on tonight and making it another great show. I mean, it's like talking 5 minutes with you guys. I mean, it's just this show just flies by.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's been fun, man. It's been great talking to you, Frankie. You need to come on and rap with us more often, man. We miss you, bro.
I'm going to try. So, well, guys, you guys want to leave us out?
Hey, you know, it's been great talking to you, Frankie. It was nice having Butch chime in. We wish them luck against Orlando. Bob is our co-pilot. We'll see you guys next week.
Okay. And I want to... Thank you guys, Frankie. So definitely thank you and your family and wish all the blessings upon you.
Thank you.
These shows are definitely in memory of Bob. And if anyone wants to hear any fighting words, please do call. Frankie.
All right, guys, again, thanks for another great show. A lot of great discussion. We'll be live again next week. And thanks for coming on, guys.
Shem Alekma Yelama Shem Ahezah Yelama Son Hashem Nevorat Fet Hakuig Again Mayelama Power, strength, and length of